Volume 47, Number 8, The Friend Magazine, August 2017. Contents. Stories and features. From the First Presidency, Three Classrooms, President Thomas S. Monson. Bonnie's Song. Family Night Fun. CTR Story, The Bad Picture. Answers from an Apostle, by Elder Neil L. Anderson. Friends with Heart, Happy to Help. Being Like Nephi. Ralphie's Amazing Find. Friend to Friend, Row Together, by Elder Terence M. Vinson. Chameleons and New Friends. Friends Come and Go. Show and Tell, Matt and Mandy. Stop and Flip. For older kids. Enough is Enough. Snacks and Crafts. The Rocket Fiasco. Sister Sheldon's Miracle. Music. The Sabbath Day. Things to Make and Do. Fun Stuff. Sabbath Day Activities. Conference Cards. Fun Stuff. Find It. Church History Figures, Spreading the Gospel. Friend Junior, For Parents of Little Ones. My Favorite Tree, Calvin Says Sorry. Find the Cars, Stories of Jesus. Jesus Forgave. Coloring Page, A Prayer for Speedy. End of Contents. Read by Charlene Stewart.
Friends by Mel.
Reading at Sea. We love the stories. They're super great. We're 1, 3, 5. 2 are almost 8. We read every morning, rain or shine. Even on our ship, it's mighty fine. Hattie, Lily, Davis, Mason, and Taylor B., ages 1, 3, 5, and 7, Nevada, USA. Friend Notebook. I love the friends so much that I decided to make a notebook filled with pictures and stories that I liked from the magazine. It made me feel good inside. Dalton B., age 9, Alaska, USA.
Strawberry Hearts. I made the strawberry hearts for family home evening. Since it didn't need the oven, I did most of it myself. They were delicious. Emma B., age 9, California, USA. Fun to Color. Thank you for the new paper that makes coloring fun and easier with markers. Sophia B., age 10, Nebraska, USA.
Dear friends, we may look different or have different beliefs, families, or cultures, but we are the same in one important way. We are all children of Heavenly Father, and He loves us very much. He wants us to respect one another. This month has 2 messages from church leaders about getting along with others, one on page 12 and one on page 20. Then read the story, Chameleons and New Friends, on page 22. Who can you be kind to today? With respect and love, the friend. Was there a story or activity this month that helped you? Tell us about it. Turn to page 39 to find out how.
End of Friends by Mel.
From the First Presidency, Three Classrooms, by President Thomas S. Monson. We have 3 classrooms of learning: the classroom at school, the classroom at church, and the classroom called home. My elementary school music teacher was Miss Sharp. She helped her students love music and taught us to identify musical instruments and sounds. Miss Burkhouse taught geography. She rolled down the maps of the world and pointed out the capital cities of nations, the features of each country, as well as the language and culture, how people live. Little did I dream that one day I would visit these lands and peoples. The classroom at church is also important. In this classroom, children can hear and feel their teacher's testimony and learn to love the scriptures. Perhaps the most significant, important of all classrooms, is the classroom of the home. It is in the home that we form our attitudes and our beliefs. If all children had loving parents, safe homes, and caring friends, it would be a wonderful world. I love little children and know that Heavenly Father loves them too. Note, adapted from Precious Children, A Gift from God, Ensign, November 1991, pages 67 through 70. Schools around the world. Heavenly Father is happy when we learn. Match each school scene with a sentence that describes it. Check your answers on page 39. End of From the First Presidency, Three Classrooms, by President Thomas S. Monson. Read by David Shaw.
Bonnie's Song, by Claudia G. Remington, based on a true story. Bonnie took a deep breath and opened her mouth. The Song of the Righteous is a prayer unto me. Doctrine and Covenants, section 25, verse 12. Bonnie loved to sing. She sang when she woke up in the morning. She sang while she got ready for school. She sang in her bed at night. The only time she wasn't singing was when she was eating or brushing her teeth. Not that she didn't try. Bonnie knew lots of songs. Church songs, school songs, songs from the radio, and songs she made up herself. Not everyone liked to hear her sing all the time.
Stop, I can't stand it anymore,
her brother Alex said when he was grumpy.
Go sing in the barn,
her sister Susan said one day.
The cows will love it.
Even her mom said,
It's not polite to start singing in the middle of a conversation.
But her dad said,
Bonnie is my little songbird. She will sing all the way to heaven.
Where Bonnie really wanted to sing was with the Mormon Tabernacle Choir. She wanted to travel all over the world singing to people and making them happy. The only problem was that she was too young. So instead, she listened to the Tabernacle Choir on Sunday mornings and sang along when she knew the words. Then one day, Bonnie had a brilliant idea.
If I can't sing in the Tabernacle Choir, I will sing the Word Choir,
she announced to her family.
You're too little,
Susan said. Yeah, there aren't any kids in the choir, Alex said.
Maybe in a few years. I'm sure you'll be very good.
But her dad said,
You should ask Sister Hildebrand, the choir director. Maybe she'll let you join.
On Sunday, Bonnie waited for Sister Hildebrand to come out of the chapel. Bonnie walked up to her, gently tugged on her skirt, and looked up to the tall lady's face.
I want to sing in the Word Choir.
Sister Hildebrand looked down.
What did you say, dear?
I want to sing in the Word Choir.
Oh, that's nice. I'm sure you will one day.
That was not the answer Bonnie wanted to hear. So she took a deep breath, she opened her mouth, and she began to sing one of her favorite hymns in her loudest and best voice. All the people in the foyer stopped talking and turned toward her. She could see that Alex and Susan were looking embarrassed and were hiding behind her parents, but she kept right on singing. Sister Hildebrand straightened up very tall and listened, and then she smiled. In fact, when Bonnie finished all of the verses, everyone was smiling.
I want to sing the Word Choir right now, please.
Sister Hildebrand leaned down and looked into her eyes.
We practice every Sunday at noon.
I can be there,
Bonnie said. Then she turned to her dad.
I can be there, right?
Dad nodded. Sister Hildebrand smiled.
Good. Your dad can sing, too. We need tenors.
She patted Bonnie's shoulder.
Be on time.
Bonnie, the newest member of the Glenwood Second Ward Choir, took her dad's hand and walked happily out the door with her family, singing very softly along the way. No one complained.
Sidebar. When I'm singing, I feel the power of the Spirit, and it helps me sing with even more power. It makes my body feel warm and cozy. Ella E., age 9, Somerset, England.
The author lives in Utah, USA.
End of the story, Bonnie's Song. Read by Shauna Thompson, Margot Patello, Gabriel Reinwand, Tess Hawkins, Kristen Hawkins, Wes Nelson, Kara McClellan, and Chloe Patello.
Reaching out to new friends. Elder Neil L. Anderson and his wife Kathy visited the Democratic Republic of the Congo in Africa. They had a church meeting outside under tents. Around the tents was a big fence. Elder Anderson could see children watching them from the other side of the fence. Kathy asked him, "Neil, do you think you might want to invite the children to come in?" Elder Anderson walked up to the man at the microphone. He asked the man to invite the children to come in and join them. The children came running. They were all smiling and excited to be a part of the meeting. Elder Anderson also told a story of a boy named Joshua who reached out to another child at church. When Joseph, a boy from Uganda, went to church for the first time, he didn't have any family there to help him know where to go. Then the missionaries introduced him to Joshua. Joshua told Joseph he would be his friend. He gave Joseph a songbook for primary, and he sat next to him. Then the primary class sang, "I am a child of God," to Joseph. Everyone made Joseph feel very special, especially his new friend Joshua. When they were older, Joshua and Joseph served as missionary companions. These experiences reminded Elder Anderson that we all need to reach out to people around us who might feel left out or alone. End of the story, Reaching Out to New Friends, read by Chloe Patello.
Building a Temple by Amy Jane Levitt. Join us each month to see how the Payson, Utah Temple was built. The walls, ceiling, and woodwork have to be carefully sanded and dusted, caulked, and spackled. Once the walls and wood are perfectly smooth, everything can be painted. Some walls are painted in a solid color. Then stencils can be taped on, so gold leaf and different colors can be painted in beautiful patterns. On other walls, artists paint murals. In some temples, these murals are actually scanned from other temple walls, printed onto big sheets, and hung as wallpaper. How to write to the friend. To send us a letter, drawing, poem, or paper heart, step 1. Fill out the form below and send it in with your story or artwork. Step 2. Send a school picture or other high-resolution photo. Step 3. We might edit your submission for length or clarity, and we can't return it to you. Step 4. You must be at least 3 years old. The Last Laugh. In this month's Last Laugh, a mom is on her hands and knees scrubbing the floor by the front door when her young son comes walking in the room with buckets full of jumping frogs, spilling water and frogs all over the floor. The boy asks,
"Mom, we don't need to use our bathtub just for people, do we?"
End of the article, Building a Temple, read by Tess Hawkins and Gabriel Reinwand.
Family Night Fun. Here are some family home evening ideas from this month's magazine. What other ideas can you come up with? Mood music. Read Bonnie's song on page 4. The music we sing and listen to can affect our mood and our thoughts. Test out how good music can affect the spirit in your home. 1. Look through your music collection. How do the songs make you feel? 2. Make a Sunday music basket for CDs or a playlist on your computer for songs that help you feel close to the Savior. 3. Visit lds.org/youth/music and music.lds.org to stream or download free music to add to your collection. Or find sing-along videos at children.lds.org. 4. On Sundays, listen only to your Sunday music. Try it for a month. Does Sunday feel different? With your family, talk about any changes you've noticed in your home. Cheesy garlic bread notes. Good music can fill our souls with the Spirit. These musical notes will fill something else, your stomach. Be sure to get an adult's help. Step 1. Roll out 2-inch or 5-centimeter wide strips from pre-packaged bread dough or your favorite bread recipe. Step 2. Fill the center of each strip with shredded cheese. Fold the dough so the edges touch, with the cheese inside. Pinch the edges of the dough together. Step 3. Twist the dough into music note shapes. Brush with melted butter and sprinkle with garlic powder. Step 4. Bake at 350 degrees Fahrenheit or 180 degrees Celsius for 15 minutes, or adjust bake time according to your bread dough recipe.
A special Sabbath. We choose to make Sunday stand out from the rest of the week. What can you do to keep the Sabbath day holy? Read the scriptures or other books about Jesus. Write letters or emails to faraway family or friends. Teach your parents what you learned in primary. Help your family make dinner. Make a craft to give to a friend. What are some other ideas? Bonus treat. Cut 2 peaches into small pieces. Mix with 2 cups raspberries, 2 tablespoons sugar, and 1 tablespoon lemon juice. Let sit for 20 minutes. Serve on vanilla ice cream. More FHE ideas. Look for these pictures in the magazine to find the stories and articles they go with. Find the page numbers below. Idea 1. Read The Bad Picture and complete this month's CTR challenge as a family. Idea 2. Jesus is a friend to everyone. You can be too. Read the message from Elder Anderson and Chameleons and New Friends. Then think of someone who needs a friend and do something kind for them as a family. Idea 3. Go on a walk to a quiet place like a nature trail or nearby park. Sit and read Ralphie's Amazing Find. Bring your family night treat with you. Maybe some chalk balls? Is there a topic you'd like to learn about with your family? Go to lessonhelps.lds.org to find stories, activities, and media. End of the article, Family Night Fun. Read by Salem Tullis.
The Bad Picture. CTR Story by Lori Fuller, Church Magazines. Based on a true story. I'll stand for truth, I'll stand for right, the Lord can depend on me. Children's Songbook, page 162.
Hey, look at this.
Jack pulled a folded piece of paper from his pocket.
I found it in a magazine this morning.
He unfolded it and held it out to Taryn. But Taryn could see right off it wasn't something he wanted to look at. He turned away.
I don't want to look at that.
Jack shrugged and put the paper back in his pocket.
Baby.
Taryn didn't really care. When Taryn got home, he helped Mom make flatbread for dinner. He dragged a chair over to the counter and Mom tied his apron.
Mom, when I was at Ian's house, his friend tried to show me a picture of a person without clothes. I turned away and walked away.
Mom set down the bowl of dough and gave Taryn a hug.
That was a really good choice. Thank you for telling me about it.
And family night, that's what you said to do.
Taryn patted his hands with flour and lifted the dough onto the counter.
I'm glad you remembered. Is that the first time someone has shown you a bad picture?
Taryn nodded.
Well, I'm really glad you told me. You know you can ask me about anything or tell me anything, right? Even if you made a bad choice, I'd still want to know so I could help. I wouldn't be mad.
She dabbed a bit of flour onto his nose. Taryn smiled and wrinkled his floury nose.
Yep, I know.
After dinner that night, Dad said,
Today someone tried to show Taryn a bad picture, the kind we've talked about in family night.
Rena's hand shot up in the air.
I remember talking about that.
Dara wasn't old enough to remember much, but she nodded too.
So what did you do?
Sonia asked Taryn.
I didn't look at it, and I walked away.
Mom nodded.
We're really happy Taryn made such a good choice, and we're so proud of him for letting me know what happened.
Dad reached across the table to give Taryn a high five.
Way to go, bud.
Rena and Dara clapped, and Sonia gave Taryn a big smile.
So, to celebrate, we have a special treat,
said Dad. That made everybody cheer. Mom got up to pull the ice cream out of the freezer, and Taryn and Sonia ran over to grab bowls and spoons.
Okay, bud,
said Dad, pointing the ice cream scoop at Taryn.
Which flavor do you want?
As they all dug into their ice cream, Mom said,
Dad and I just want you kids to remember that if you're worried or have questions, you can always come and talk to us. No matter what. It makes us happy.
And gets us ice cream?
Sonia asked as she held up a spoonful of chocolate. Mom laughed.
Sometimes. But mostly it just makes us happy.
Taryn nodded as he finished his last bite of ice cream, telling Mom had made him happy too.
CTR challenge. I will only read and watch things that are pleasing to Heavenly Father, my gospel standards. Find an August 2016 friend online works too. And read through Be Smart, Be Safe, and Have Fun with Your Family. Go to children.lds.org and watch the video, What Should I Do When I See Pornography, with a parent or trusted adult. Make a plan with your family. If you see something bad, tell a parent or trusted adult as soon as possible to quickly let go of the bad feelings. I challenge myself to...
End of the story, The Bad Picture. Read by Ben Cummins, Asher Hawkins, Enzo Patello, Kara McClellan, Terrell Williams, Tess Hawkins, and Shannon Nelson.
Conference cards. Here are some of our favorite quotes from April General Conference. Follow the Savior's example by being kind, loving, and charitable. President Thomas S. Monson. Look up to Jesus Christ. His arms are always open to you. Elder Yu Wan Che of the 70. It is good to have goals and plans. Elder M. Russell Ballard of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles. What a blessing to be able to pray to our God. Sister Bonnie H. Corden, First Counselor of the Primary General Presidency. End of this month's conference cards. Read by Rena Nelson.
Answers from an Apostle. How do I help everyone feel welcome in primary? By Elder Neil L. Anderson of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles. God loves all children. We are all His sons and daughters. We need to be thoughtful and kind. Some of our friends come to church by themselves. Some can't get baptized until they grow up. You can reach out to someone who feels alone or left behind. Knowing someone's name can make a difference. Invite someone to sit by you. Let's open our arms and our hearts a little wider. Help those who feel scared or shy. Think about them. Welcome them. From Whoso Receiveth Them, Receiveth Me, Ensign, May 2016, pages 49 through 52. End of the section, Answers from an Apostle. How do I help everyone feel welcome in primary? By Elder Neil L. Anderson of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles. Read by Van Farnworth.
Friends with Heart, Happy to Help. From an interview by Jordan Wright.
Amakuru, Jumbo, hello, I'm Angelina. I like enchiladas, masks, and the color mint green. My parents are from Burundi, a country in East Africa. I was born in a refugee camp in Tanzania. Now I live in Utah, USA. A special name. I speak English and a language called Kirundi. My last name means I will always be grateful for what I have. I am grateful that many of my relatives live nearby. Family fun. During the holidays, my family and I go to Grandma's house for dinner. We eat sambusas, fried dough with rice or meat inside. Then the parents tell stories. My uncle and cousin play drums, and my sister and I dance. Helping newcomers. I like helping at primary, too. Some of the kids in my branch speak Kirundi at home, and some speak Swahili. We have primary in English. When new kids come to primary who only speak Kirundi, I help by translating for them. Helping others. When I grow up, I want to be a nurse. But right now, I can help by doing laundry, changing my baby sister's diapers, and helping my sister Sophie with her homework. Showing love to kids who are new. If you don't speak their language, find someone who can translate. Learn how to say hello. In Kirundi, say Amakuru. In Swahili, say Jambo. Invite them to come play with you.
Send us a heart. How do you follow Jesus? By showing love. Send us a heart with your story, photo, and permission. See page 39. End of the section, Friends with Heart. Read by Daniel McClellan and Chloe Patello.
A True Story, written by you. Being Like Nephi, by Mason J., age 8, Utah, USA. One day I learned in primary about how faithful and righteous Nephi was.
so I decided that I wanted to be like Nephi. The next day I worked on making better choices. My brother hit me. I got mad. I wanted to hit him back, but I decided to be like Nephi. Instead of hitting my brother back, I just walked away. It helped to take my anger away. Another time, my brother played with my airplane without asking, and I was worried that he was going to break it. So I asked him nicely to give it back, and he did. It is hard to make the right choices sometimes, but I think of Jesus and Nephi's examples. I also read my scriptures every night, and it helps me throughout the day to make righteous choices. I know that when we are faithful like Jesus and Nephi, it will make us happy. End of A True Story, written by you. Being Like Nephi. Read by Miles McClellan.
Fun stuff, find it. Anna Maria can't wait to learn how to make her Nana's, grandmother's, favorite lasagna recipe. It's an Italian classic. Can you find the ingredients they need? Can you find the other hidden objects? End of the section, Fun Stuff, Find It. Read by Shannon Nelson.
Ralphie's Amazing Find by Julie Guirgas. Based on a true story. I Know Heavenly Father Loves Me. Children's Songbook, page 228. This was the worst day ever. I got home from school and threw my bag down. Then I flopped into the chair and tried not to think about my best friend.
Want some chalk balls?
Mum held out the bag to me.
I just bought some.
Not today,
I answered. That's when Mum figured out something was wrong. She knows I hardly ever pass up chocolate.
Everything okay?
I let out a long sigh.
Not really. I just found out Tim's moving next week. We promised to keep in touch and he's coming back for spring break and all, but it won't be the same. I won't have anyone to play with after school.
Mum patted my shoulder.
I'm so sorry. It's never easy when friends move away.
She glanced across the room at our dog.
You know, Ralphie looks like he could use a friend, too. Why don't you take him for a walk?
I don't know, Mom.
Taking Ralphie out was the last thing I felt like doing, but I couldn't remember the last time I took him out, because I had been with Timmy so much. When I looked over at Ralphie, he looked sadder than I did. He whimpered as he ran over and stared up at me with big eyes. How could I say no to a cute face like that?
I get the message.
I laughed as Ralphie's tail started wagging when I put the lead on. He knocked me back a step and licked my face. Then he turned and ran out the door so fast that I fell over.
Whoa!
I shouted as I tried to grab the lead. It slipped right through my hands.
Wait up, Ralphie!
I got up and raced after him, but all I could see was his bushy tail bouncing through the dusty streets and then into the forest. Branches whipped my face as I sprinted after Ralphie through the trees. We'd explored all through this forest, but never this part before. Where was he going?
Ralphie!
I caught a glimpse of him as sunlight cut through the shadows. He had stopped and was waiting on a huge brown rock up ahead. His happy woofing sounds told me he'd found something great. I raced over to see. I couldn't believe my eyes as I looked around.
Wow, this place is awesome. Good find, Ralphie.
A huge white waterfall crashed over rocks. We crossed the stream below the waterfall and discovered rocks covered in moss. Ripe flowers surrounded the waterfall, and birds flew over our heads. We even found a sandy beach with deep pools of water, perfect for fishing. The sand was as soft as candy floss. I took off my shoes and dug my toes into the sand. The sun hung over the trees like a big golden ball. As I sat there, I felt its warmth hug me like a thick blanket. God's love surrounded me, and I no longer felt alone. I didn't ever want to leave. Finally, after some more exploring, Ralphie and I headed home. Mum asked how the walk went.
Ralphie found an amazing place. It has a great waterfall with beautiful flowers and everything.
That sounds wonderful,
Mum said. Then she grinned.
Want those chalk balls now?
Yes, please.
The next day, Tim sat by me at lunch.
Sorry I couldn't hang out yesterday. I had to pack.
That's okay. I took Ralphie for a walk and found an awesome place where we can go fishing when you visit. Sound like a plan?
Deal,
he said as we knocked knuckles, something we always did when we made a promise. Even though I may feel lonely sometimes, I know I'm never alone. God is always with me. The author lives in New South Wales, Australia.
Sidebar. When my mom and dad told me that we were moving to Hawaii this year, I was scared to meet new people. But I prayed, and Heavenly Father told me that it would be a good experience. Now I am really excited that we moved here. That's how I know Heavenly Father answered my prayer. Ireland A, age 9, Hawaii, USA.
End of the story. Ralphie's Amazing Find. Read by Van Farnworth, Rena Nelson, Miles McClellan, Maya Reinwand, and Ethan Nelson.
Friend to Friend by Elder Terence M. Vinson of the 70. Row Together. Teach me to know of the things that are right. Teach me to walk in the light. Children's Songbook, number 177. As a young boy in Australia, I played a lot of sports. I ran track, and I also played rugby and cricket. I really liked team sports. In those sports, it wasn't just me playing, but a group of people working together. One of the harder sports I tried was rowing. My friend and I took out a boat called a tub pair on the river. I rowed on one side and he rowed on the other. As we rowed, we tried to prove we were stronger than each other. The boat turned in one direction and then another. We zigzagged up the river. It was slow going. We didn't work together very well. After that, we got a coach to help us. He told us what to do and how to help each other. We practiced the things he taught us. Eventually, we became very good and won many races. When I joined the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, I realized that I couldn't work just on my own. There was a lot I didn't know about the gospel. I needed to work with my bishop and my leaders. Most importantly, I needed to work with Heavenly Father to know what He wanted me to do. I studied the scriptures and prayed. I listened to my leaders. I practiced and worked hard, just like with rowing. Heavenly Father guided me when I wasn't sure what to do. That helped me grow. God has taught me many things as I've tried to do what He asks. He's helped me to help others as well as myself. As we try to work with others and with God, we can do many great things. End of the story. Row Together by Elder Terence M. Vinson of the 70. Read by Pat Murray.
Chameleons and New Friends by Katrina Dart McFeeters, based on a true story. I help you, and you help me, and that's the way that it's supposed to be. Children's Songbook, page 263. Isabel set the table with special plates and napkins. The smell of her favorite rolls filled the house, but she didn't feel hungry. She wished she could skip dinner and play with her two chameleons, Flicker and Blink, instead. Or at least play with Flicker. Blink wouldn't come out from under the leaves in her cage. She was shy. Isabel felt shy today, too. She'd never met anyone from Russia, and now three people from Russia were coming to dinner. What if she couldn't understand them? Isabel wished she could hide like Blink. Isabel's older sister, Amelia, set out the cups.
Are you excited to meet my friend Natalia?
Amelia asked.
No,
said Isabel.
How am I going to talk to her?
Amelia raised her eyebrows.
The same way you talk to me.
But Natalia speaks Russian.
Natalia speaks our language, too,
said Amelia.
So does her dad. Her mom only knows a few words, but she's learning.
Isabel decided she would stay away from Natalia's mom. The doorbell rang, and Amelia ran to answer it. Isabel could see Natalia and her parents waiting on the porch. Natalia's dad held a bowl of salad. Her mom had a big, friendly smile. Isabel spent dinner hunched in her seat so only her head poked over the edge of the table. She didn't know what to say, so she didn't say anything. Natalia's mom didn't say anything either, but she smiled and nodded. Sometimes Natalia translated for her. After dinner, Isabel slipped away and wandered over to Flicker and Blink's cage. To her surprise, Natalia and her mom followed. Inside the cage, Blink scuttled under her leaf again.
"Can I see?"
said Natalia, pointing to the cage. Isabel nodded. She reached into the cage and Flicker climbed onto her hand. She handed him to Natalia. Flicker licked Natalia's hand. Isabel laughed. So did Natalia's mom. Isabel reached in the cage again, but Blink wouldn't come out.
"Come on, Blink," Isabel said. "You're missing all the fun."
Natalia's mom said something to Natalia in Russian.
"She wants to help you get the lizard,"
Natalia said to Isabel. Natalia's mom placed her hand out flat. It looked like she was asking Isabel to move her hand next to Blink's hiding spot. Isabel thought about how Blink was missing out by hiding.
"I'm not going to be like Blink,"
Isabel thought. She looked at Natalia's mom and then held out her hand. Natalia's mom placed a drop of water and some of Blink's food on Isabel's hand. Blink turned her big eyes toward the food. Her tiny green leg stretched onto Isabel's open palm. "Good," said Natalia's mom. Blink's tail curled in a loop and her tiny feet tickled Isabel's arm. When it was time for Natalia's family to go home, Natalia's mom waved at Isabel and smiled.
"Baka,"
she said.
"That's Russian for bye,"
whispered Amelia. It didn't matter if Natalia's family didn't speak the same language she did. They could still understand each other. And maybe she could learn some Russian for the next time they came to dinner. Isabel grinned and waved back at Natalia's mom.
"Baka."
The author lives in Utah, USA.
Sidebar. One time I was playing with my friends, and out of the corner of my eye I saw a kid crying. I didn't know who he was, but I went to help him and said, "What's wrong?" And I was able to help him. Parker H., age 7, Utah, USA.
End of the story. Chameleons and New Friends. Read by Eden Reinwand, Salem Tullis, Tess Hawkins, Maya Reinwand, Hilary Straga, and Daniel McClellan.
Friends Come and Go by Jordan Wright. When friends go, it's hard when a friend moves away, but it doesn't have to be goodbye forever. You can still talk by email, phone, or video calls. You can even be pen pals. Learn something cool about your friend's new home and look it up on a map. Show them you care. Remember that Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ love you. Sometimes friends just move on to different friends or interests. Some friends come and go. When friends come, you might find friends in surprising places. Your siblings or cousins can be your friends. So can kids from your primary class. Find someone who seems lonely and do something nice for them. Help everyone feel included. It can be scary to make a bunch of friends at once. Start by inviting one person to do something fun. Maybe their friends will become your friends too. Quiz time. Take this quiz with a new friend, but hide your answers. Then try to guess what the other person wrote. What is your favorite game? How many siblings do you have? If you could pick any animal for a pet, what would it be? What is your favorite movie? What is the weirdest thing you've ever eaten? What is your favorite color? End of the article, When Friends Come and Go. Read by Asher Hawkins.
Show and tell. A bully was picking on a boy I didn't know. I told the bully that he should be nice. The bully made fun of me. Then the boy I had stood up for helped me. He said that we should all be friends. I felt good that we could help each other. James W., age 6, Arizona, USA.
I was the fastest runner in my class when we were timed for the mile run. I noticed one girl who was having a hard time running, so as soon as I finished, I cheered her on. It made me feel good inside to encourage her. Josh C., age 8, California, USA.
I try to pray to Heavenly Father for anyone who is sad that they will be happy. Ryan D., age 7, Somerset, England.
At school, we did state reports. My friend reported on Utah and said that it was first settled by Mormons. I said I was a Mormon and shared my beliefs with my friends at school, which made me happy. Eliza D., age 10, Pennsylvania, USA.
To make the Sabbath day special, we make scripture scenes from our toys. We made Moses standing on Mount Sinai while the Israelites worshipped a golden calf. Nathan, Ryan, and Paul W., ages 11, 9, and 6, Arizona, USA.
Filling the world with love. This year, we're filling our map of the world with your loving hearts. Find out how to send us your heart on page 15. Here are some friend readers who sent in a heart. Abigail L., age 6, California, USA. Savannah R., age 6, Utah, USA. And Alberto P., age 9, Arizona, USA. Other contributors to show and tell. Tiffany H., age 11, Utah, USA. Bradley C., age 11, New South Wales, Australia. Brooklyn D., age 7, Utah, USA. Find more art online at childart.lds.org. End of show and tell.
Matt and Mandy. In this month's Matt and Mandy, we get to know how each member of the Cooper family enjoys spending their free time. It's the last Saturday before school starts, and everyone has an idea about the best way to spend it. Dad just wants to relax with a fishing pole and doesn't care if he catches anything. Mom wants to spend the day with a good book. Matt wants to go swimming to try out his new snorkel. Mandy wants to spend her time with her sketchbook drawing birds. With all these great ideas put together, we see the whole family spending the day together outside in the backyard. Matt is pretending to snorkel in the small plastic pool. Mandy is looking at the rubber chicken for painting inspiration. Mom is sleeping in a hammock with her book covering her eyes. And Dad is taking a nap with his fishing pole in the plastic pool. Good thing the Coopers know how to compromise and just have fun together. End of Matt and Mandy. Read by David Shaw.
For older kids. Brain teaser. What is tall when it's young and short when it's old? See page 39. My haiku. Premortal life choice, life on earth to learn and teach, great eternal life. Afton B., age 10, Colorado, USA. Dear Journal, what do you remember about your baptism? Write about what happened, who was there, and how it felt. Add pictures if you have them, or draw some. If you haven't been baptized, write about why you're looking forward to being baptized. Think about it. Some things can be learned only by faith. Elder Dallin H. Oaks. Secret Service. Write a nice note for a friend or family member and leave it where they'll see it. Zyra A., age 11, California, USA, sent in a heart. It reads, I pray for my mom every day that she will be safe when she goes to work. Quick quiz. Which article of faith talks about the Savior's atonement? 10, 5, 13, or 3? See page 39. End of the section for older kids. Read by Maya Reinwand.
Enough is Enough by Sarah Cutler Chow, based on a true story. I was finally going to do something about Olivia. I was finally going to do something about Olivia. But behold, I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you. 3 Nephi 12:44. If there's one thing I don't like, it's bullies. If there's one word I don't like, it's ugly. If there's one thing I don't like doing, it's crying. And if there's one person I don't like, it's Olivia. She's a bully. She calls me ugly, and that makes me cry. Plus, she picks on my friends. She makes fun of my clothes. And her name even sounds like olives, the one thing I don't like on pizza. I had to do something about Olivia. So I made a plan. I would tell her what I really thought. I would hurt her back. All morning, I practiced my speech in my head. I could imagine the scene exactly. She'd walk past me at recess and say something rude. Then I'd step in front of her and put my hands on my hips. She would suddenly look very small. "Olivia," I'd say, "you think you're so much better than me, but you're not. I'm 4 months older than you. I get better grades in reading than you, and I'm nicer to people than you." Everyone on the playground would stare at us. They would see how cool I was. They would see how awful Olivia was. Olivia would beg me to forgive her, or maybe she'd just run away and cry. I liked both ideas. At morning recess, I was ready. Olivia walked past me just like I knew she would. "Don't you know half the people at school think you're ugly?" Olivia said to me. I wanted to give my speech, but now it just sounded silly. "Well, you're uglier," I finally said. Olivia just laughed. "Whatever." I couldn't say anything else, so I just walked to the bathroom with my head held high. But once no one could see me, I cried and cried and cried. When I looked at my face in the mirror, it was splotchy and red. Maybe Olivia was right. Maybe I was ugly. I felt ugly on the inside, too. What had happened to my plan? This was no good. I tried being mean, and it only made me feel worse. When the bell rang, I washed my face so no one would see how much I cried. The splotches went away. The bad feeling didn't. I sat in class and tried to think of a new plan, but I was stumped. If being mean didn't work, what would? At lunch, I ate as fast as I could and then hurried outside to hide from Olivia. I sat by the wall and tried to squeeze all of me, even my shoes, inside its shadow. When Olivia came outside, she didn't notice me. She just strutted to the corner of the playground. I watched her play with a small rubber ball. She bounced and caught, bounced and caught, bounced and didn't catch. A boy on the playground caught it first. "Give it back," I heard Olivia tell the boy. "No way, ugly face. I caught it," the boy said. "But it's mine," she said. I felt like I should help her. Help Olivia, I thought. Help the bully who calls me ugly and makes me cry. But Olivia was being bullied now. I knew how bad that felt. So I stepped out of the shadow and marched over to the boy. "It's hers. Give it back." "No." He laughed and waved it in front of Olivia's face. Then he threw it as hard as he could and ran away. "See ya, losers," he called over his shoulder. He didn't see where the ball went. He didn't care. But I did. I saw it hit the basketball hoop. I saw it bounce twice and land in the grass. So I found it and took it to Olivia. When I got close, I could see there were tears on her face. If there's one thing I didn't know Olivia could do, it's cry. I pretended I didn't notice, though, so she wouldn't feel embarrassed. "Here you go." Olivia took the ball. "Thank you," she said. If there's one thing I didn't know Olivia could say, it's thank you. "You're welcome." If there's one thing I didn't know I could do, it's feel good for being kind to Olivia. The author lives in California, USA.
Sidebar. As we learn to see others as the Lord sees them, rather than with our own eyes, our love for them will grow, and so will our desire to help them. Elder S. Mark Palmer of the 70. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him. Ensign, May 2017, page 116.
End of the story, Enough is Enough, read by Eden Reinwand and David Shaw.
Snacks and crafts. Be sure to get an adult's help. Pudding Pops. Step 1. Make your favorite instant pudding. Step 2. Pour pudding into an ice cube tray or small cups. Step 3. Put Kraft sticks in. Step 4. Put in freezer for several hours. Tips. You could also freeze smoothies, juice, yogurt, or lemonade. If a Kraft stick can't stand up on its own, cover the cups in plastic wrap and poke the stick through the center. Picture perfect. Here's something else you can do with Kraft sticks. Glue them together to make a frame for a special photo. Be creative. Try layering the sticks and using different shapes and patterns. When the frame has dried, decorate however you'd like. Then, glue in the photo. End of Snacks and Crafts. Read by Pat Murray.
The Rocket Fiasco by Jane McBride, based on a true story. Andrew opens his last birthday present.
It's a model rocket! This is the coolest present ever!
Outside in his backyard, Andrew looks over the instructions with a group of his friends.
Sweet, let's put it together.
Dad said I have to wait for him to help.
Whatever, we can do it by ourselves.
That doesn't really feel right, but I really want to see it take off. Okay, it's pretty easy. I mean, I'm 10 now. And 10-year-olds can do basically anything.
3, 2, 1, blast off!
But then, the rocket launches, flies over the fence, and into Mr. Warner's convertible car, catching it on fire.
Oh no! That's Mr. Warner's car! We have to tell him!
No way! He'll be so mad when he sees this!
I'm out of here.
I wish I could run away too, but I know that's not right.
Andrew runs inside to tell Mom what happened. She calls the fire department. Now to tell Mr. Warner. Andrew knocks on Mr. Warner's door.
Yes?
Mr. Warner, your car's on fire.
As Mr. Warner puts out the fire with his garden hose, Andrew thinks.
That warning feeling I had must have been the Holy Ghost. Should have listened.
When the fire is out, Mr. Warner says,
The seats are burned pretty bad, but it looks like the rest of the car is okay.
I'm so sorry.
Thanks for being honest and for sticking around. I know it wasn't easy to tell me.
I'll pay to fix your car.
A few days later, Andrew has a meeting with his parents in the kitchen.
What's that?
The bill to fix Mr. Warner's car. It's going to cost a lot.
I probably don't have enough.
We can pay right now, and you can work to pay us back.
Okay. Thanks for helping me. I'll work hard and pay it back.
Then he thinks to himself,
I made a mistake, and I want to fix it. I mean, I'm 10 now, and I can do hard things, especially when I listen to the Holy Ghost.
End of the story, The Rocket Fiasco. Read by Casey Wayman, Miles McClellan, Asher Hawkins, Merrick Straga, Terrell Williams, Rena Nelson, and Ben Cummins.
A True Story Written by You. Sister Sheldon's Miracle by Elise D., age 10, Washington, USA. Sister Sheldon is the greatest primary president ever. She is energetic and funny. When she stands up to do sharing time, we all say, It's Sheldon sharing time, with jazz hands and smiles. She loves it. Early in 2015, Sister Sheldon found out that she had cancer again, for the fifth time. She explained to all of us what cancer is and what it does. She told us that she might miss church sometimes, and she would probably lose her hair. She asked us to fast and pray to help make her cancer go away. During this time, our primary did the Helping Hands Challenge, where we cut out paper hands and wrote on them an act of service we did. Sister Ashby, in the primary presidency, had the idea to make a Helping Hands quilt for Sister Sheldon. We all wanted her to know that we love her, so the whole primary traced hands and hearts, and the Activity Day girls used them to make a quilt. We sewed, ironed, and poured all of our love into it. Some of us even tied strings on our fingers to remember Sister Sheldon. We gave the quilt to Sister Sheldon. She took it to her chemotherapy sessions and felt our love. The best part was when Sister Sheldon bore her testimony to the entire primary. She told us how special we were to her and that she loved us. She knew we were a big part of why she made it through chemo again. Even though I was scared that she might not make it, I just knew she would. Today, Sister Sheldon is cancer-free. End of the story, Sister Sheldon's Miracle, read by Maya Reinwand.
For parents of little ones. No hitting! Now say you're sorry. But what if your child doesn't feel sorry? How can you help your child learn to apologize sincerely and understand how to repent? Here are some tips. It's okay for you to voice the apology the first few times. She's sorry she made you sad. Next time she will ask you before playing with your toy. Your little one may be afraid to admit wrongdoing because she thinks you'll be mad. You can model the importance of apologizing until she feels safer saying the words herself. Ask, what can you do to make it better? If your child can't think of ways to right his mistake, offer one or two ideas and help him follow through. Help your child feel empathy. Oh no, your brother is crying. Why do you think he's sad? When you've slipped up and hurt feelings, apologize to your children with the same honesty and humility you want them to show. When you need to, ask for Heavenly Father's forgiveness in family prayer. With time, your example of mending relationships will prepare your little ones to say they're sorry and mean it. You can read past letters at friendfplo.lds.org. End of For Parents of Little Ones, read by Kristen Hawkins.
Action Rhyme, My Favorite Tree, by Heather Teed. My favorite tree is as tall as the sky. My favorite tree is wider than a hug. My favorite tree has branches that blow in the breeze and leaves that flutter to the ground. My favorite tree started as a tiny seed. My favorite tree grew as tall as me. My favorite tree gives me shade in the summer and a place to say my prayers. End of the action rhyme, My Favorite Tree, read by Osam Patello.
Calvin Says Sorry, by Jennifer Maddie. Josh showed Calvin his car. It was really cool. When Josh left the table, Calvin put the car in his pocket. Josh came back and frowned. Where is my car? Calvin was quiet. The car felt heavy in Calvin's pocket. At recess, Calvin didn't feel like playing. He felt bad for taking the car. Calvin gave the car to Josh. I'm sorry I took it, Calvin said. Josh smiled. That's okay. Do you want to come to my house and play cars? Calvin smiled. Sure. End of the story, Calvin Says Sorry. Read by Gabriel Reinwand.
Stories of Jesus. Jesus Forgave, by Kim Webb Reed. Jesus taught his disciples to forgive. He told them that Heavenly Father would forgive their sins if they forgave others. Once Peter asked Jesus how many times he should forgive someone who did something wrong. 7 times, Peter guessed. 70 times 7, Jesus said. Jesus forgave people who felt sorry about their sins. When he forgave one woman, she felt so grateful that she washed his feet with her tears. Jesus also forgave people who didn't know they were doing something wrong. He asked Heavenly Father to forgive the men who crucified him. They didn't know they were hurting the Son of God. Jesus forgives people because he loves them. I can try to be like Jesus by forgiving others too. End of the article, Stories of Jesus, read by Margot Patello.
A Prayer for Speedy, by Ashley D. Jones, based on a true story. Ashley looked in the pet store window.
Which kitten would you like?
Mom asked. Ashley saw black kittens and striped kittens. Then she saw a gray kitten behind the others. He was so small. Ashley knew which one she wanted. Mom and Ashley brought the gray kitten home.
What will you name him?
Ashley watched him run.
He's so fast. I'll call him Speedy.
Ashley took good care of Speedy. She gave him food and played with him every day. Speedy liked to run outside. He chased bugs. He jumped in the grass. One day, Ashley went to the backyard.
Speedy!
She called. Speedy did not come.
Speedy!
She called louder. Speedy still did not come.
Oh no, Speedy is lost!
She told Mom. Mom and Ashley walked all around looking for Speedy. but they couldn't find him. Ashley started to cry.
I'm worried about Speedy.
Speedy will be okay.
Can we say a prayer?
Yes, that's a good idea.
Ashley prayed for Heavenly Father to keep Speedy safe. The next day, Ashley still felt sad. Dad gave Ashley a hug.
Maybe Speedy will be here when we get home from church.
When the family got out of the car in the church parking lot, Ashley heard a soft sound. Ashley's eyes got big.
Speedy!
He was high up in a tree by the car. Dad got Speedy down. Ashley held her kitten tight.
I'm so glad you are safe.
The author lives in Arizona, USA.
End of the story. A Prayer for Speedy. Read by Kara McClellan, Shauna Thompson, and Shannon and Wes Nelson.